Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Oh, I have been a blogging fool this morning. Good morning. Welcome.
A blogging fool?
Yes. I got two blogs up this morning.
Wow.
We will be playing an excerpt from one of them. The other you just need to listen to. Well, I'll play a clip actually from both. And yeah, just wow. Anyway, welcome to the program. It's Wednesday, October 28th. That's Dallas Rogers over there in Studio 1A. I'm here in Studio 1B. It's show 4355. Let's see. Tomorrow's 56. Then 57, 58, 43, 59 is election day. Yeah, we'll get to election day here in just a second. This is our verse of the day, Romans 12, 17. Oh, isn't this interesting? Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. Well, do what is right in the eyes of, well, do the best you can, because not everyone has the same values. So what you need to do is do what is right in the eyes of God in any given situation. look at Philadelphia right now. How do you react to that if you're a Christian? How do you react to the protests? I put air quotes around that. Those aren't protests. Those are riots, violent confrontations designed to create chaos, designed to create anarchy. So what do you do with that? Well, you don't repay evil with evil. You know, that's one of the things that's been so interesting to me to watch over the last decade plus, 12 years or so, is there are people that no matter what happens in this election, you know, this is something that both sides make the mistake of saying and doing. Both sides make the mistake of saying after they win, the American people, no, some of the American people, got to take this country back. Well, there's a group of people that don't agree. No matter what happens next week, there's a group of people that don't agree with the outcome, that will not be happy with the outcome. Truthfully, there will be more peace in this country if Joe Biden wins. Because people that oppose Joe Biden are going to show up and do their job. They're going to go back to work. They're going to grind away on finding the best way to survive what follows. Donald Trump gets elected, reelected. We will find a very different reaction. We'll have what we've had for the last several years. Maybe worse. Maybe better, I don't know. But maybe worse. It all depends on what happens in the House and the Senate. But one thing is abundantly clear. There is a person that, you know, I don't bow a knee to Joe Biden, and I don't bow a knee to Donald Trump. I don't bow a knee to an elected official. I never will. I will humble myself before God. Not a man. There is no man that I will bow before, ever. Not going to happen. And so when it's all said and done, we have an allegiance to a higher, more, a remarkably more important person. And you have to allow that to guide your decision making. If you don't, you are no different than the others. Tough, I know. Very tough. All right, 10 minutes after the hour. This date in history, and so much to get through today. We've got the mayors coming on the show for the last time this year, and more here on The Morning Show with Preston Scott.
Spin stops here. The Morning Show with Preston Scott on News Radio 100.7 WFLA.
No, it's too late. I already did it. Put a peanut butter cracker in my mouth. I didn't even think about it.
The damage is done.
Oh, man. And of all the things, peanut butter.
Welcome to New Radio 1.7.
Even spread thin on a cracker, it's still peanut butter. My goodness gracious. All right. That was such bad form. I am so... But look, I have told you for 4,355 shows, I'm terrible. I'm a terrible radio show host. Bad at what I do. And so, you know, I break all the rules. I talk about my faith. I talk about, you know, stuff that you're... I talk about race. I eat peanut butter crackers while I'm on the air. The one thing I don't do is I don't drink soda very often when I'm on the air. In fact, I think I did it once years ago, and I just had a burping fit that was so bad that I just was, and I mean, it
on
was,
the air?
Oh, well, I mean, I caught it. I killed my mic each time.
So it was a whole bunch of, and then you had it.
Or
turn the mic off.
Or it was, and then that's you just get that.
Yeah. Did you ever get mid word and start talking about that one?
Oh yes, sir. You better believe it.
Yeah, I'm getting,
that's why the water is my go to during the radio program here. October 28th, it's 1636. Massachusetts General Court establishes Harvard College. I wonder the way that colleges and universities have gone so uber liberal. If they could, do you think the founders of these universities would take it back? No, we're not doing this. But they need to learn. No. They're going to be stupid eventually. No. 1886, Statue of Liberty dedicated in New York Harbor. President Grover Cleveland dedicated the Statue of Liberty, declaring, "We will not forget that liberty has here made her home, nor shall her chosen altar be neglected." What an amazing gift.
What an amazing time in America where you could get elected president being named Grover. We were much more understanding then.
Well, we also hadn't had Sesame Street.
That's what I was going to say. So. Still, that's a name that's tainted.
Frederick August Bartholdi was the designer of the statue. The people of France raised the money. Think about that. The people of France raised the money to build that which has been perhaps the singular most iconic symbol. Wouldn't you put the Statue of Liberty as even more iconic than the eagle as a symbol of America?
Yeah, I think around the world, yes. Definitely around the world.
Yeah, I mean, that's it.
Without question, yeah.
Because eagles are everywhere. I mean, you know, bald eagles are not just in the United States. I mean, you know,
it's a status symbol to own one in certain countries.
Bald eagle?
Mm-hmm. Bald eagle and falcon.
I knew a falcon. I didn't know a bald eagle.
Mm-hmm. Eagle. Well, sir, eagles. Eagle.
Okay.
It doesn't have to be just bald eagle, but yeah. Eagle, yeah.
But man, yeah, you that symbol, the U.S. Capitol, but there are buildings that resemble that elsewhere. There's nothing like the Statue of Liberty. There just isn't. It's like the Eiffel Tower. It's you know, the Tower of London. I mean, it's iconic. It's that.
Oh, yeah.
It's the Jesus statue in Brazil. I mean, it's just.
Yeah, it has become synonymous with the face of America.
1919, Congress passes the Volstead Act, enforcing prohibition.
Good call,
that worked
boys.
Out well. 1942, the Alaska Highway connecting Alaska to the lower 48 through Canada is completed. And the Gateway Arch in St. Louis completed on this date in 1965.
Nice.
We drove by that shortly thereafter on a roadie down here to Florida from
when
Minnesota.
When I went to visit it, the elevator wasn't working, so I couldn't go up
in. I wouldn't do that in 1,000 years. 16 minutes after the hour, it's the morning show.
FLA on your phone with the iHeartRadio app and on hundreds of devices like Alexa, Google Home, Xbox, and Sonos.
And free.
And iHeart's radio station.
I have it in my never nicotine-stained hands. The new book, 50 Things They Don't Want You to Know About Trump. Jerome Hudson making the rounds. Will join us next week on the program. He'll be in town. Just saying. You got to do a book signing.
Yeah, you should.
Gotta go to Books a Million. We used to pack that place. We packed that place for Ollie North before he turned into a traitor to the NRA. I mean, seriously, we had people just packed. Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck came to town a couple times, did a thing at Books a Million. We promoted it. Boom. Jammed. I've got letters from Ollie North.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby. Mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa. Take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Ch-ch-chumba. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do. And start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia, movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Thanking us for turning out so many people. You sold so many books. Well, show them how to do a little book signing. I might see if I can plant that seed. While you're here, why don't you sell a few books? Anyway, yesterday I got this response from one of our Manly Minutes. You know, we do the Manly Minute, and it's somewhat of an iconic feature. I mean, it really is. Because there are too many nerdy little boys out there. There just are. And now hear me. I am all about homeschooling. But some of you homeschool parents need to get your kids out more. It's not about making them worldly. It's about making them socially comfortable where they can interact with people and not be nerds.
Mm-hmm.
They're just... There are too many nerdy homeschoolers out there. And so, honestly, it was one of the things that birthed the Manly Minutes. Just my observation that we have a dearth of manly young men. Because manly young men stand out like the Statue of Liberty. They're just like, whoa, look at that right there. It's a manly young man there. And so I get this note yesterday from Tanya. She said, love your manly man session. First, thank you for that. Every segment of the radio program is a manly man session, though. Every radio program in and of itself is a manly man session with Dallas and me here.
Don't lump me in with this.
Excuse me? Is there something you need to confess?
As I sit here and drink my soda?
She said, a friend here in Tallahassee taught his son to drive a stick.
Yeah.
And when he got his first job at Super Sud's car wash, they paid him more because he was the only one, one of the only ones who knew how to drive a stick.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was more valuable to them because cars coming out of the assembly line. See, at Super Sud, you have to get out of the car and you watch it like the old school ones. You watch it go through the conveyor belt. They jump in and
pull it to the drying area,
dry it, wipe it down inside and all that stuff. The same friend shared with me that stick shift cars are some of the fewest stolen cars because a lot of people don't know how to drive them.
Mm-hmm.
I never thought about that. I had not considered that the dearth of manliness extends into the punk auto theft ring.
Oh, yeah.
Well, there you go.
That's great.
Man,
yeah.
Let's get that car. What?
I can drive a stick, man.
Can you drive a five? You said you could drive one. I can't drive one. Loser. Can you drive one? No. Loser. Anyway, just thought that was good. Today, after the radio program, I'm announcing this now because right now, predominantly, we have some early morning risers all throughout the listening area to the west and in the central time zone and so forth. But the bulk of the listening audience right now is around Leon County. For those of you voting in the city election, Bill Shack will do a Facebook Live segment with me at 9:15 this morning. So after the show at 9:15, I'm going to flip on the cameras and we're going to do Facebook Live with candidate Bill Shack running against Curtis Richardson. For those of you that say, you didn't do one for Curtis Richardson, Curtis never asked. I'd sit down with Curtis. I have no problem with that whatsoever. I like Curtis. I think Curtis is personally a very nice guy. I just think he's wrong about everything. And I think he's unbelievably naive when he says there was no doubt dark cloud over the city of Tallahassee while the FBI is doing an investigation. It's like, hello? Anybody home? But no, if Curtis wants to come on, that's fine. He's not asked. So there you go. 27 minutes after the hour. Let's do some news, come back. Yeah, let's come back and talk some more here on The Morning Show.
Morning Show with Preston Scott.
You get nothing. You lose. Good day, sir.
On News Radio 100.7 WFLA.
Okie dokie, big stories in the press box, lots of things to listen to here. U.S. Postal Service worker facing federal charges for throwing out 112 mail-in ballots. They were not filled out, but he just threw them away, found them in a dumpster. Guy got fired, but he's facing now federal charges. We are seeing time and again.
Wait, what was he supposed to do with them if they're not filled out?
Deliver them to the people that requested them.
Oh, so this was the delivery. This wasn't the... Oh. Oh, man. Wow.
We've got stories of people throwing out filled out ones. People not getting them. People getting the wrong ones. 50,000 earlier this month. 50,000 wrong ballots were sent in Ohio in one area. 50,000. Think that can change an election? Now, they caught it, allegedly. On my blog page, I have another Project Veritas where James O'Keefe, sick of people saying that didn't happen, he goes and confronts a lady that bragged about being paid, bragged about bribing, bragged about grabbing votes on camera, changing a woman's vote. Talking her into changing it. That's violation of federal law. When he confronted her sitting down, she packed up her stuff and walked away. She's on camera. It's right there. People don't want to hear that. Mainstream media doesn't want to hear about this. mainstream media also doesn't want to hear from a rational member of the Google family. This is Ashwin Agrawal. Very articulate, thoughtful guy, works for Google as the head of global competitive analysis for the Google Cloud. This is another Project Veritas. I think you'll get enough of this.
You're not given an opportunity to change your mind.
Yeah.
And I think you can feed so much Democratic ads, but this is content that they have not wanted to see or they've signed up to see. They're just being fed, right?
He's talking about people getting ads that they didn't sign up to get and that they're bombarded with Democrat ads.
You're not given an opportunity to change your mind.
Yeah.
And I think you can feed so much Democratic ads, but this is content that they have not wanted to see or they've signed up to see. But they're just being fed, right? All day. So if I'm on YouTube, you know, 2 hours a day, and I'm given like 50 ads, they're all Democratic ads.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, that's a problem. And not only Democratic ads, but I'm given like local ads that are aligned with the mission and the cause that I believe in.
Yeah.
So there you go. And it goes on from there. There's an entire interview with this guy where he talks about, you know, I don't hate Trump. He said, but if I came out as saying that I was a Trump supporter in any way, I'm done. And he's talking about the manipulation that you're not given the opportunity to see anything else. The algorithm is set up to feed you constantly specific ads over and over and over and over and over and over to where you don't even think there's another message out there.
So he's trying to create the echo chamber himself.
And he's just talking about the way that it works. Not that he's doing it. He's explaining how it works.
Wow.
All this on the blog page. Go to the website, /Preston.
Weekend weather on the 10s and the truth all the time. The Morning Show with Preston Scott on News Radio 100.7 WFLA.
In a related story, funny, but yesterday, starting at 6 a.m. Eastern, Google searches of the phrase, "Can I change my vote?" peaked. One of the subregions where the phrase began trending, Delaware, Joe Biden's home state. Other subregions included Maine, Pennsylvania, Florida, Ohio, Michigan, North Carolina, Iowa, Wisconsin, and Arizona. Many states, you cannot change your vote. It is one of the many reasons why I do not advise early voting. I don't advise mail-in voting, of course. But I generally don't. I will never vote early. I vote on election day. Always have, always will. Since 1978, I vote on election day. But there is no chance that I'm voting early. Just in case. Just in case. I would love to know. This is what they can't tell you right now, or they're not telling. In other words, do they know which way these people that are doing this Google search are wanting to change their vote? In some states, you can. Believe it or not, you can change your vote in New York. You can change your vote in Michigan. You can change your vote in New Hampshire. But there's over 60 million people that have voted already, and most of them, sorry, you voted. No do-overs. Now that leads to the story about...
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hunter Biden and Joe Biden. Listen here. Exclusive. Sit down. The entire show. Tucker Carlson. Tony Bobulinski. This is an excerpt about Tony Bobulinski and an arranged meeting with Joe Biden. You decide for yourself.
The former vice president was flying in, and we were to meet at the Beverly Hilton. The Milken Conference was going on, obviously one of the top three conferences in the world for anybody that's a global investor or developing different humanitarian causes and a variety of things. And he was Joe was flying in to speak about the cancer and the moonshot stuff he was working on. And Hunter and everyone was in town, and they wanted to coordinate me meeting with Joe. And so it was set up for the night of May 2nd at the Beverly Hilton. I first met with Hunter Biden and Jim Biden, and just had a light discussion where they briefed me that, listen, my dad's on the way, and we won't go into too much detail on the business front, but we'll just spend time talking at a high level about you, your background, the Biden family, and then he's got to get some rest because he's speaking as a at the conference in the morning.
So this was at night. The president, vice president, just flown across the country. He's an older man. He's got work to do.
Correct.
But they carved out a piece of his schedule for you to meet with him. Why would they do that?
We'll pick up right there when we come back. Why would they do that? Why was it important for Joe Biden to personally meet with this guy? A meeting that he says never happened. He said he knows nothing about his son's business dealings. First of all, that's just weird.
That's just a father to say that is kind of dumb. Sorry.
That's just,
fathers know about their son's business deal.
Yes, they do. Unless they're estranged, and that's certainly not the case in the Biden family, to his credit.
Yeah.
No, that's awesome that he and his kids are close. That's great. Nothing to be ashamed of there.
Well, if he doesn't know about his business dealings, how close are they?
That's why. Of course he knows. But we'll get to the answer to the question Tucker Carlson asked next on The Morning Show with Preston Scott.
Morning Show with Preston Scott.
They all adore him. They think he's a righteous dude.
On News Radio 100.7 WFLA.
Mainstream media certainly doesn't give a rat's rear end about Hunter Biden and Joe Biden and Joe being dishonest about his son's business dealings and his involvement. Let's rephrase. This is a sit-down with Tony Bobulinski. If you look at his political contributions, as meager as they are all to Democrats. He just didn't want to be discredited in all this that's going on about Joe Biden saying that he had nothing to do with his business dealings. And so he sits down, long, 40, 45, 50-minute interview with Tucker Carlson, and Tucker asks the question.
So this was at night. The president, vice president, just flown across the country. He's an older man. He's got work to do.
Correct.
But they carved out a piece of his schedule for you to meet with him. Why would they do that?
Because they were sort of whining and dining me and presenting the strength of the Biden family to get me more engaged and want to take on the CEO role and develop Sinohawk both in the United States and around the world in partnership with CEFC. And I, as you can imagine, I've been asked by 100 people over the last month, you know, why would you be meeting with Joe Biden? And I sort of turned the question around to the people that asked me, why at 10:38 on the night of May 2nd would Joe Biden take time out of his schedule to sit down with me in a dark bar at the Beverly Hilton, sort of positioned behind a column so people couldn't see us, to have a discussion about his family and my family and business at a very high level, where Jim Biden sat and Hunter Biden participated in. I'm irrelevant in the story. They weren't raising money from me. There was no other reason for me to be in that bar meeting Joe Biden than to discuss what I was doing with his family's name in the Chinese CFC.
You got to decide. This guy's sitting with zero notes. He knows every meeting that took place. Yeah, we met here. This is a former lieutenant in the United States Navy who, up until now, never had a questionable business dealing in his life and has come to realize money got missed. Money that was promised to go here didn't go here. Money that was supposed to be invested in this company didn't. There are text messages here that, let's just say this, Hunter Biden is not the calmest person in the world. In one text message, he says, F you, Tony, and proceeds to describe how panicked he is about losing the income that he had set up through Burisma. In fact, hold on. Need to pull this back out. There was a note I made here. Hunter Biden ended his relationship with Burisma, the Ukraine gas company, in 2019 as Joe began his presidential campaign. Stop, hold, think. Why? Why would you give up an honorable, above board, no problem, totally legal job that paid you a sick sum of money? He had been venting about losing his income stream in texts that everyone now has. The FBI has. This information's been dumped. Police now have it. Not just the FBI. Police now have it. But let's circle back to the basics. Why would Hunter Biden quit that job? If everything's above board, why? Yeah, exactly. That's why I made the note. All right. Little tease here. Tuesday night, 7 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Central, election night, we will be here. We will be covering the region. Yes, we will be covering elections in and around Bay County. From 7 to 10, Dr. Ed Moore, Sal Nuzzo, yours truly, Dallas Rogers. We will all be here on election night. Don't miss it. Shaking his head in disgust over there in Studio 1A.
Well, we just played a promo because we run the Seminole football on our sister station, WTNT.
Yeah.
We're supposed to have these little recorded things in here that promote that, but instead they're just playing the stuff from that station. So we just played a thing that ends with WTNT.
Like, okay. Well, let's sow a little more confusion into the minds of people listening this morning.
Well, see what I'm saying? But that's what it just did. We just spent 15 seconds doing that. So
let me tell you something. When I heard the city commission, and I announced it in the news last week, was going back to in-person meetings, I darn near fainted. And then it was followed up by the mayor, John Daly. I said, you know, you can phone it in if you like, because that's what we've been doing. Or you can come on in. I'll be in. What? So, I didn't think he'd actually do it. So when he came in, I put an improvised mask on. I took a piece of tissue and stuffed it up my nose. But, you know, anyway.
Well, I want you to know I got here extra early because I know your screening protocols would take extra long to get into the building. And
absolutely.
And my temperature's okay and I feel fine.
She's surprisingly gentle, isn't she?
Hey, I was telling you earlier, I'm moving a little slow this morning because I stayed up too late watching the end of the baseball game last night. I gotta take another swig of coffee here to wake up.
Well, if you need excuses before we talk, that's fine. Do you want me to give you a minute? You're okay?
No, go right ahead.
Okay, because I don't want to be accused of abusing you here.
No.
All right.
Who would possibly ever accuse you of that, Preston?
What is City Farm TLH? Tell me about that, because I was intrigued by that story. I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah, so we got some extra pieces of property around Tallahassee that are being underutilized. Like, I'll give you a prime example. We just launched City Farm TLH is an urban farm, okay? It allows us to bring the community together. We've got people that can help teach people how to plant crops, how to harvest, you know.
So it's not open to just anybody to go drop some seeds in the ground.
No, it's an organized collective, but anybody can participate, which is pretty cool. So you get these strips of land that aren't big enough to build a house. They're not big enough to put a holding facility on. I mean, we're talking, you know.
Why do you have them? I'm not being argumentative. I'm just saying, why does the city have this land?
Sure. For instance, where we cut the ribbon on the city farm actually is a piece of land. We do have a holding facility, a water holding facility on it, but it's not big enough that it takes the entire parcel of land. There's a strip of land next to it.
Okay.
Can't do anything else with it. So let's utilize it and let's build an urban farm. And actually, the neighbors absolutely love it. They come out. They work the rows. It gets people outside. It provides fresh fruit and vegetables. And yeah, it's turned out to be a really neat program.
Tempo. Tempo is going to be something that's talked about in the city commission meeting either today or soon.
Sure.
What is Tempo?
Tempo is a program where we go out and we enroll at-risk students or those that are not in school right now. And quite honestly, we try to give them an extra chance through an internship, through exposure, through business connections where they can get a job and work, whether it's at a McDonald's or a Wendy's or another business in Tallahassee. We try to give them exposure to give them a second chance. Okay?
What's the baseline age-wise? 16, something like that?
I would say 15 up to about 21.
Okay.
And it's been tremendously successful. So we just graduated our 1,000th graduate of the
program. Hello, it is Ryan. And we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Program. Hear me out, Preston. Half of these individuals, 500 of these individuals, had some type of a run-in with law enforcement prior to going in. Zero recidivism coming out.
Nice.
Zero recidivism. So it's working. And, you know, we talk about high crime. We got to deal with the crime issue here in Tallahassee. When we look at the statistics of crime, we know that this is an age group that we need to target. So if there's a way that we can help connect people through a trade, through a job opportunity, mentorship, help them finish their GED if they're not in school currently, help them get enrolled.
Make money legally without having to look over their shoulder.
Absolutely, in a safe manner.
Yeah.
And give them greater exposure, and it keeps them out of trouble. I'm all in favor of it.
Real quickly, what does the city commission vote on then? You're voting on doing what?
We're creating the foundation because people have come and said, hey, this is a great program. We would love to donate computers. We would love to donate XYZ. We'd love to make a cash donation, but by law, you can't just write the check to the program because it's a city program. Creating a foundation would allow the city to collect this, therefore using less taxpayer dollars to be able to support the program.
Good stuff. Mayor John Daly with us. As we go through the next two segments, it will get progressively more interesting for the mayor. Don't spit your coffee. 10 minutes after the hour.
With Preston Scott on News Radio 100.7 WFLA.
So It's our final visit of the year with the mayors today. Greg Brednicki, Panama City Next Hour, and Mayor John Dale. Touch the microphone while the microphone is on, Mayor. This is that rare occasion I can boss the mayor around, so I'm going to darn well do it, too. Don't you touch that thing. But this is our last visit because of the holidays. We visit on the last Wednesday of the month, or the fourth Wednesday of the month, and that's Thanksgiving week. And that's Christmas where we're off. So anyway.
Hey, and by the way, thanks for having me on.
Yeah, of course.
I really appreciate it. For 2 years, you've given me the opportunity at the end of every month to come on. I get it with the holidays. That's cool. We'll jump back into 2021 and hit the road.
Yeah, I hope we're, I don't know what kind of world we're going to be hitting the road in, John, but we'll keep talking and meeting. Tell everybody, what is the, I wrote this down, what is the 440 North development?
So the 440 North development is a development that's coming online right on Monroe Street at the old Envision Credit Union. It is going to be a phenomenal development.
Why?
It's housing. It's a great way to redevelop that property that, and I think it's going to maximize the use of land.
Can I just, I'm hearing the questions from my listeners. Housing. Do we need housing downtown?
We do.
Why?
We do.
Because we have vacancies, don't we? All around Harry's and the whole area around Clayman Plaza.
Right. And it's my understanding that these will not just be condominiums, but these will also be apartments. We do have a shortage of apartments as well as condominiums.
Okay.
And we need to make sure that we have housing stock in all different price ranges.
And this isn't for college kids, because college kids have housing all over the place.
Correct.
This is for multifamily type stuff?
Correct.
Okay. Okay.
Correct. Mixed use. It'll have retail, restaurants on the first floor. It's directly across the street from Hotel Duval. Again, I think it's an incredible redevelopment project for a parcel of land, the old Envision Credit Union, that will maximize that space.
Do we have people that are ready to sign a lease? And I say that, and obviously, you know, I'm not a mask guy. I think we've been wrong on masks, and I think we're killing business. And I can only imagine, with this constantly lingering out there, who wants to open a business right now?
Sure. I don't have an answer to that question. That would be something for the developers.
So the city just is approving the development. The developers take the risk of whether they get landlords or not. Do you have any responsibility is the best word I can come up with. It's not the one I want, John. But is there some responsibility that the developers have to say, okay, we've got this X percent leased out. We have commitments from these people to be here.
They own the property. They are a nationwide company. I am assuming that they have done all of their homework, or else they would not move forward with the project. The city of Tallahassee does not have a penny in this deal. This is a straight development. You have a person that owns a piece of property. They have property rights. They are going through the development process. They want to build multifamily. They want to go up. I think it's the highest and best use for that piece of property,
Okay. And
I encourage it.
What's the status of the Gateway, which is where that Walgreens drugstore, I think Morgan & Morgan is in there, but a lot of businesses have come and gone from that corner of Monroe and West Tennessee Street?
I don't know. The city does not manage that piece of property right there.
But do you happen to know, just without the city's involvement, what the status of that is? What I'm driving at is, how are we doing on leasing business space and so forth? It occurs to me that with the pandemic, people downsizing, contracting, there's a lot of commercial space.
I don't know exactly off the top of my head how much commercial space is available in downtown Tallahassee, or in Tallahassee in general for that much. Nobody wants to see something go into the old Walgreens more than I do. That's an iconic intersection right there. So I tell you what, I will find out and I'll get back to you to see if there's any interest in anybody going into that space.
Should that be a calculation for the city commission moving forward on what you approve or don't approve for as far as developments in terms of existing inventory?
Well, I think that you also have the question of how much do you want the city involved in private business dealings?
Now, well, you know I don't, but correct. But you still have, you do zoning, right?
We do zoning, and it is zoned commercial right now. And so it'll be interesting to see who is interested in that corner, why they're interested in that corner, and how to move forward. The city does not have a direct investment right now in that building. And so it's a privately owned building,
right?
That I'm sure that they're trying to recruit, because they don't want the space to be empty either.
All right, John Daly, mayor of Tallahassee, with
good
me.
Question.
One more, every now and then. Blind squirrel and an acorn. Back with more in just a few minutes here on The Morning Show with Preston Scott.
WFLA. On your phone with the iHeartRadio app and on hundreds of devices like Alexa, Google Home, Xbox, and Sonos.
Dude, yes!
And iHeart's radio station.
All right, final segment with the mayor of Tallahassee, John Daly. Got a question here on our last segment from a listener I'm going to go ahead and ask. Does the project we were talking about, the 440 project, does it have CRA money?
Yes, I believe it has CRA money, but I need to go back and double check. So I'll be safe and say yes, there is an investment there.
So then it would have taxpayer involvement.
Sure.
So their city would have some connection in there by virtue of taxpayer money.
Yes, and I need to go back and double check.
Okay.
And I didn't mean to mislead. And it did not cross my mind.
Clarification, that's fair.
I need to go back because I believe it would be tax credits on the back end, so it would not necessarily be a direct investment. But let me check on that, Preston. I'll follow back up with
you. Okay, fair enough.
Usually with projects of that magnitude, it's a tax credit on the back end, which means you have to complete the project. You are responsible for the cost of the project.
Mm-hmm.
You have to bring the project to fruition. You have to go through the permitting process. You have to do it right. And then there's a tax credit on the back end.
So yeah, it's not, if this, then that.
Right. But that's a great question. I appreciate it. Yeah. And I'll follow up with you on it.
You've received a note from Joe West, Vet Events Tally, questioning the decision to cancel the Veterans Day parade without having any interaction with the group that has been responsible for putting it on for better than a decade now. Your thoughts?
Well, I appreciate Joe and the organization and all that they do for this community. And, of course, we all appreciate their service to our country and very much support our veterans. The decision was not to cancel the parade. The decision is regarding permits for the parade, okay? And they are interlinked. We did not cancel Veterans Day. We are not having a parade on Veterans Day. I think that there are actually other events that will be taking place. In talking with the medical community, leading up to this event, it was advised that having a parade that brings 50 to 75,000 people downtown would still not be a wise decision during the month of November. Look, there is nobody that would love to have a Veterans Day parade more than myself, or a Winterfest parade, or a Springtime Tallahassee, or, you know, any of our major festivals. But right now, we've made the decision based on the local doctors and what the medical community was saying that it's not safe to bring that amount of people down for a parade. So we were not issuing the permits for the parade. Now, I will tell you that this item was publicly noticed on the agenda. It had been out there for about 2 weeks. We had a public discussion. We had people weigh in on many different parts. This was the same agenda item where we discussed the parks, okay? And are we going to play youth sports or not? It generated a lot of ideas and input from the community. I did attend the monthly meeting at the American Legion where we discussed this item. And we talked about whether we're going to have the parade or not, or what's going to happen in lieu of.
Was it discussed, though, with the group that has put it on for the last 10-plus years?
That is a question for the chief of police and for the city of Tallahassee Parks and Recreation. I do not know the answer. So I will give Joe the benefit of the doubt that conversation did not take place.
But let's set them aside.
Sure.
Because the decision was made by the city commission.
Correct.
So shouldn't the commission have reached out and specifically, not noticed on an agenda, but, you know, talked to them directly and solicited their thoughts before issuing a decision?
Sure. The conversation should have gone both ways. I can also say that Mr. West should have called us as well and said, all right, you've canceled Springtime Tallahassee. You've canceled all the major festivals. We have nothing going on in downtown with the concerts or anything. What is the status of the Veterans Day Parade as well? We all should have started this conversation a lot earlier instead of just running up to the decision that was made at a city commission meeting.
Let's pivot and ask about the medical advice. Have you been given an indication when the medical advice is going to be, it's okay, we can now live our life normally? In other words, what are they going to base it on, John?
I don't know. You need to talk to the
doctor. Yeah, but you're the one listening to them and making decisions based on what they're saying.
Right.
So, I mean, is there, I've asked, in fairness to you, John, I've asked the same thing of Vince Long and Brian DeLoge at the county. What's the measurement?
Sure.
We're never going to be zero cases.
Right.
So what are they basing this on?
Well, I think you're seeing us move in that direction already, and I'll take the Parks and Recreation decision. I mean, that's why I came out so strong. Actually, it was on your show.
Yeah.
I came out strong and said, it's time to let the kids play. I had talked to my general physician.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
I had talked to our kids' pediatrician. I talked to other pediatricians. I talked to the hospitals, and they all said, yeah, look, at this point where we are, as long as we are smart about it, let's use some common sense, put in some protocols, it's safe for the kids to get out and play. And it's healthy for the kids to get out and play, and they need to be running around. So you're asking me to make a comment with no medical background whatsoever, which is the reason why I talk to the doctors. I don't know what their thinking is to the point to where, in layman's terms, they say, hey, let's get back to normal life and go forward.
At no point, though, have you asked the people that you're taking the advice of, okay, what's the measurement where you're going to feel good?
Yeah, well, and I always tell them, look, here's what I'm looking for from you on the third grade level, is that if you think that it's safe for us to do X, Y, Z, would you be prepared to stand publicly with me and say, yeah, I back the decision, we've talked about it. So that's my level and standard. Now, how do we predict where we're going to be 3 weeks from now, a month from now, 6 weeks from now? I think we're heading in the right direction, but I can't look into the crystal ball and tell you exactly.
I can. 27 minutes after the hour, time for news.
Beck, you want him on that radio.
America can handle the truth.
You need him on that radio.
9 to noon on WFLA.
News team!
And I can proudly say it's Wednesday on the morning show with Preston Scott. And joining me is Bill Zimper. Hello, Bill.
Hello. Good morning, Preston.
Well, we've got the Supreme Court nomination done. We have a vote. We have a confirmation. We have a swearing in. Nothing left to talk about, is there?
No, not really.
Okay. Have a good day, Bill.
Yeah, back to you, Preston.
Is there anything going to happen between now and Tuesday on the stimulus?
Well, it's funny you should ask. Let me put it this way for you, Preston.
Yeah.
Let me put it this way. We're trying to figure out what's been going down faster, the chances of a stimulus package before Election Day or Dallas Cowboy quarterbacks. And right now it's about even. Because it's pretty much a consensus now. There will not be a stimulus before Election Day. President Trump said it yesterday, said, hey, we're going to get to this after Election Day. He says it'll be the best package you've ever seen. Mitch McConnell has adjourned the Senate after that Supreme Court confirmation. They're not due to come back until after the election on November 9th. And even Nancy Pelosi said it yesterday. Even though she did have a conversation with Steve Mnuchin Monday, she said yesterday that help is on the way after the election, and maybe she's being a little overly optimistic about things, maybe hinting at a shift in power in Washington, saying it's going to be a safer, bigger, better, and retroactive package, which we hadn't heard before. So I think everybody is pretty much in agreement that this could happen after the election. But even then, Preston, you got to wonder how much spirit of cooperation there will be in a lame duck session of Congress in a limited legislative calendar with Thanksgiving coming up. And we've got a big deadline coming up on December 11th when, once again, the money runs out and we need another appropriations bill.
The money runs out all the time.
Yeah.
It all doesn't matter. What is your take on the fact that over 60 million have voted early,
yeah,
but that Google has seen a surge in the searches on, can I change my vote?
Wow. Well, that would give you the indication that some things that have come to light recently may want people to change their. But what does the Google search turn up? Does it just say no?
No, it's interesting. Those trends are in Delaware, Maine, Pennsylvania, Florida, Ohio, Michigan, North Carolina, Iowa, Wisconsin, and Arizona.
Wow.
And those are. And they started to peak yesterday. And the question was, can I change my vote? That phrase. And while most states, no, you can't. Once you voted early and you got it submitted, yeah, it's done. But there are states that you can change your vote.
Wow. Boy, wouldn't that be interesting? And those states you mentioned are right at the fulcrum there. They're
uh-huh.
the ones that could swing things one way or the other. I don't know. Could this be another and lawsuit in the making? I mean, we already have hundreds of lawsuits that have been filed.
Oh, they're lined up like airplanes at Hartsfield.
Absolutely, that's certainly interesting, and it shows you that recent developments. Not sure what that might be, but recent developments have people having second thoughts about their vote.
Just real quick, did you vote early?
Yes, I did.
Okay. I'm one of those that I'll never do it. Never in a thousand years will I do it.
Yeah, I did it, but I didn't mail it. I took it in. I took my
Okay. There you go. Smart man there. Bill, thank you very much. Appreciate the time.
You're welcome, Preston.
Bill Zimfer from Studio 1R this morning on The Morning Show with Preston Scott.
The Morning Show with Preston Scott.
Laugh it up, fuzzball.
On News Radio 100.7 WFLA.
The big story in the press box, voting. Voting, voting, voting. I mentioned it to Bill Zimfer. Google searches of the phrase, can I change my vote, peaked yesterday morning around 6 a.m. Delaware, one of the subregions where it was trending, along with the states of Maine, Pennsylvania, Florida, Ohio, Michigan, North Carolina, Iowa, Wisconsin, and Arizona. By the way, a watcher's guide. You want to watch Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin on Tuesday. Those are three states you want to pay attention to. There's some just ridiculously important math involved in how those states go. You've got a U.S. Postal Service worker facing federal charges for throwing out 112 mail-in ballots. They were not filled out. They were on the way to, but they were tossed. You know, depending on the people that they were going to, that could have kept 112 people from voting. Because you get to a point where there's not time to receive the ballot, return it, get it in and counted. And maybe for whatever reason, they don't feel that they can go out and vote in person. So, I mean, that's significant. Those are federal charges there that postal worker, former postal workers facing. And we have stories like this all over. On my blog page, if you go there, you will find more voter ballot fraud caught on camera. Let me just play a clip. This is James O'Keefe talking with Raquel Rodriguez, who ironically is working for a Republican, but when she's confronting people, she's getting them to vote for Democrats. This is just a little back and forth with James O'Keefe as he walks up and finds her outside at a diner.
Raquel Rodriguez, how are you doing? This is James O'Keefe with Project Veritas. We have you on tape admitting to coercing voters and bribing voters with gifts. This is you on video telling someone who to vote for, which is a violation of federal law and state law.
Now, you know, I'm here. You chose a Republican, not a Democrat, right?
Can I do that?
You can vote for whoever you want, but our conversation that we had, you said you were voting for Hager.
In our conversation, you said you were voting for this person, but that's not who you put here. And so he's got this old lady.
And she's like, well, yeah, you know what? You're right.
And then she changed. I mean, she was voting for, he's clearly voting for John Cornyn.
Do you think it's okay to change people's votes for them like you did with Ms. Cornyn? Do you think that's acceptable?
I refuse to talk to you right now.
You're on tape doing it. Do you not see that? Look at this.
This is what they asked me to say, so no.
Okay, but you actually did that.
I'm done. I'm leaving.
Well, we're going to leave with you if you're going to leave. Because you brag.
I don't want to talk.
You brag that you and your partner go into polling booths with voters and sign an affidavit that you can enforce. Do you think that's legal?
That's a lie. You're lying.
I'm with the biggest candidate. Everybody's mad.
I'm with the biggest candidate.
I got the millionaire. A millionaire that's like, go do whatever you need to do. Here's all my credit cards. I don't take advantage of him.
Here are my credit cards. Do what you need to do. That's who I'm with. This is what's going on out there. People are cheating. Openly, it's on tape. Some are putting it on tape like they did in Minneapolis and brag about it. Hey, look at this. They're rolling out $200 to grab a ballot and fill it out.
So why aren't those tapes in the police hands and the police are not arresting people?
The police have this stuff. It's an investigation that's underway in Minneapolis.
Yeah.
46 minutes out. I'm just telling you. It's the morning show.
His opinion. He just happens to be right. The Morning Show with Preston Scott on News Radio 100.7 WFLA.
Come on. In our final mayoral interview of the year, Panama City Greg Brednicki, Panama City's mayor, will join us in the next segment. Lots of things to talk about with him. City Commission met yesterday. Talk a little bit about what unfolded in that meeting. Election night, Tuesday night, yours truly. We will be hosting coverage from 7 to 10 Eastern, 6 to 9 Central. So what does that mean? Well, we will be able to give you a feel in the Central time zone for what's happening locally. There's only a handful of races locally. No ballot referendums that are of consequence other than what's on the state ballot. So you'll get updated information as tallies start coming in. Final hour for you from 8 to 9 will be packed with intel. For those of you listening in this Eastern time zone in Leon County and the surrounding area, you'll get the races that matter most to you, the Children's Services, Taxing Authority, authorization. Do you approve it or not? You're gonna let yourself be taxed by another group that has no accountability? None. Wait, did I say that? Yes. We'll be following that. Dr. Ed Moore will join me. Sal Nuzzo of James Madison Institute will join us. We will all be in here together. Dallas Rogers will be here. And so we'll be following the national, state, and local issues and races. We will have regional updates from the Northeast and the Southeast and the Central time zones. Let me back up. Not time zones. The Northeast part of the country, the Southeast, and the Central part of the country. We're not going to take updates from the Mountain and Pacific because by the time we finish, they will just have had their polls close. So there'll be nothing for us to talk about. That'll come with the coverage that we will go to at 10 o'clock Eastern, 9 o'clock Central. So Tuesday night, join us. Wednesday, if you want a good laugh, join us in the morning because we will be exceptionally tired. It's going to be insane. But it'll be easier than coming in for hurricane coverage because we never leave. We just stay here for days on end. And so we'll get a few hours of shut-eye and then come on back on Wednesday to talk about the results as best we know them. Do you think we will have a result? Do you believe that we will have a result to the presidential election when you wake up on Wednesday? It's one of the most interesting questions of the entire thing. Will this election be settled on election night? I don't think it will be.
I think we're dealing with this for weeks.
I hope you're wrong. I'm afraid you're not.
I am too, but I'm
so, you know, that's what we've been talking about for quite a while here, that the lawsuits are stacked up. You know, Bill Zimfer talked about that. It's just,
we got two things going against us here. One, it's an election, and two, we're in Florida. It's kind of a Murphy's Law situation.
Oh, I'm not even worried about Florida as much as I am worried about the nation. We just, they're just pockets of this country. I mean, you have people openly talking about cheating in Pennsylvania to change the outcome. Look, here's the thing. With mail-in voting, if you allow votes to just come on in even after the deadline, you know how this works. Well, how many more votes do we need? Okay, give me a minute. Seriously. We don't have objective election officials all over the country. We have cheaters in some places. Anyway, come back with news. Greg Brodnicki, Mayor of Panama City, next on The Morning Show. Minutes after the hour, we are already to hour number three of show number 4355 of The Morning Show with Preston Scott. Dallas Rogers over there in Studio 1A running the radio broadcast. I'm here in Studio 1B, and I am joined by the mayor of Panama City, Greg Brodnicki. It's our final visit of the year. Holidays get the better of our scheduling in November and December. So, Mayor, thanks for joining me. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. And yourself?
I am. I will confess. I've got a little butterfly-ish in my tummy, tum tum about Tuesday. But big picture, I'm just fine. Just fine. We'll talk about those butterflies a little bit later. City Commission meeting yesterday. Pretty consequential stuff going on there. Talk about this block grant availability, some money that's available, and some projects you're hoping to get funding for.
Well, one of the biggest problems that we had after the hurricane, of course, was housing and the exodus of people because there was no place to live. Well, the money is starting to flow now from the state and federal government to provide down payment assistance, rental assistance, and all of these programs are now coming to fruition. So we're able to provide money so people can have instant equity and become a homeowner rather than a renter. You know, we had 70% renters before and 30% homeowners. So we're hoping that will flip. And so this money being available through our housing authority or through our city of Panama City, we run the housing for the city and the county, is now starting to come to fruition. And it's amazing how many people have hit the website and have applied for these funds.
I was just going to say, how does someone avail themselves of the information to learn more and see if they qualify?
Yeah, it's all you have to do is contact rebuildpc.org or the City of Panama City, and we've got, you know, most of the stuff's on the website, and it directs you to someone to talk to. Push comes to shove, if you want to come down there, City Hall is open. You can come in and see Michael Johnson or any of his staff to be able to find out about the programs face-to-face.
What are some of the other projects and programs that you're hoping to get funding for?
Well, what the storm did, you know, everybody in America's got dated infrastructure. And so with all the not having a storm of that magnitude for so many years, so many of the trees, 100-year-old plus trees being blown over, those roots went ahead and finished off a lot of our infrastructure below the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Water and sewer lines that were already possibly compromised went ahead and they were destroyed. So we've got money coming in from the state. We've got $81 million that's going to be coming in starting next month to help us start dealing with those infrastructure problems that have been a problem, but were really exacerbated by the storm. So we are benefiting from that disaster.
I was just going to say, as indelicate as it sounds, I mean, obviously no one wants to lose life in anything, whether it's a pandemic or a natural disaster. But, Mayor, this has proven to be a blessing in disguise as it relates to rebuilding infrastructure with the help of now partners you might not have had before.
Correct. I mean, we would have had to been able, we would only been able to take very small baby steps, because you can only tax your constituents so much to get this stuff done. And without having sinking funds or reserve funds available to do it, by the time we got finished, we'd be starting on it again to get it done. So now we'll be able to get all that stuff done at a much quicker rate, get it done faster. And one of the problems that we've had, when we had Sally, normally we process about 3 million gallons of sewage within one of our plants a day. And because of the infiltration of water into those lines, we had 18 million gallons to go through that particular station during Sally, which means that, 15 million of that was storm water that had flowed into our busted pipes.
Wow.
So that just tells you how bad things are compromised. And so, you know, we need to attack that and get it done. Now we'll have the funding available to do that, along with a lot of the city's own money. I mean, it's going to be a combination.
Mayor Greg Brudnicki with me for a few more segments here on the program. Mayor, stand by. Again, that email address, rebuildpc.org, is a good starting point for those of you in the area looking to find out about some of that funding that might be available to help you get on your feet and get some home ownership. 10 minutes after the hour.
Got you covered. Traffic and weather every 10 minutes. It's the Morning Show with Preston Scott on News Radio 100.7 WFLA.
Mayor Greg Brudnicki of Panama City, Florida, my guest for a couple more segments here on the Morning Show with Preston Scott. Mayor, how'd the census end up for you?
Well, I haven't gotten the final count yet. I know that it's been extended a couple of times. We had some people coming over here from Jacksonville that were really helping us. I don't know what the final numbers are. I know it was getting better, of course, but whether or not it got as good as we needed it to get remains to be seen. One of the things that we will test and see once we get our numbers in, we will weigh the risk of how much money do we have to spend to redo the census in a couple of years, if need be. So, you know, because we know that equates for a family of four to $60,000 a year. And so that is a lot of money over 10 years. You're talking about $600,000 that we would not get because we were not, these people were not counted. So We will weigh all those statistics and look at it when the time comes and say, guess what? It's time to redo that, because we know that we're at a much higher rate as far as people go, but we got to prove it.
Mayor, how's the rebuild at Tyndall impacting what's going on in Panama City?
That's a great question. And it's something that we knew when they promised to rebuild Tyndall between $4 and $5 billion, that we have to provide the schools and the quality of life for Tyndall. So we knew that we're not going to be left out of the funding, because we have to provide that. We're the center of the county. We're the county seat as far as the city of Panama City. And so that certainly affects all of.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com, and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
The cities within the county as well as the region. So it has done nothing but help us, and they are blowing and going out there.
That's good to hear. You know, I mentioned at the very beginning, you asked how I was, kind of you to do so, because no one really cares how I am, Mayor. But But the truth of the matter is, I'm anxious. I mean, ultimately, my faith carries me with whatever's going to happen on Tuesday. I'm fine. But I'm a little anxious. What about you?
Yeah, I am too. I just, and my faith carries me also. So I am hoping that the man upstairs will do the right thing and affect the election the way it needs to be affected.
I hope God strikes thunder on... No. What makes you the most nervous? Is it, and I'm asking a serious question here. What makes you more nervous, the outcome of the presidential race or the outcome of Amendment 2 in Florida?
The presidential race. I think that does, because there's been a certain tone that's been set. There's so much craziness going on between the media. You know, it depends on what station you watch, what particular person you follow on the internet, and people are just, I think in many times they do not get into the all of the facts that affect everything and what's really going on, and so they just get swayed, and it's unfortunate because everybody's trying to swing people one way or the other, but you've got to reality, when reality strikes, it's something that it could be very scary, not having the right kind of leadership. My thought process has always been, and I've been in office for 10 years, but I ran a business and still run a business for 40 years. I want a guy or a gal that has signed the front of a check, not the back of a check, to run this country.
Mayor, stand by. We're going to pick up right there. We're going to talk about some of the amendments, though, that may have a pretty big impact on the region where you serve. Stick around. One more segment with Panama City Mayor Greg Brudnicki with me on The Morning Show with Preston Scott.
FLA on your phone with the iHeartRadio app and on hundreds of devices like Alexa, Google Home, Xbox, and Sonos.
Hey, so here we go.
An iHeart radio station.
Due to Thanksgiving and Christmas holidays and our schedule, we will not be meeting with the mayor of Panama City for the next couple months. We'll circle back after the first of the year, so this is our last meeting of the year with Mayor Greg Brudnicki. Mayor Zeta, Tropical Storm Hurricane Zeta out there. Are you expecting any of those bands to cause an issue for you?
Hopefully, we just get a little bit of rain on this side of it. You know, we got a lot of rain from Sally, caused a lot of flooding. It exacerbated the trees being gone, exacerbated the flooding here because of the trees not being able to draw up, you know, 50 to 75 gallons of water apiece. When you've got a million trees gone in your city, it made it worse. So I'm hoping that the flooding problem is not nearly as bad as Sally.
When you look at the state constitutional amendments, the one that I've begged businesses, I have begged people, I've not asked you your opinion on this, but I have to believe that an area that does rely on tourist dollars as much as the region that you call home, Mayor, you have to be concerned about what Amendment 2 might do to the local economy.
Really will affect us tremendously, because trying to explain it to people sometimes is difficult. But, you know, if you got a person that's making $15 an hour and they've been there 2 years, they're going to expect to make more money. And if you had to start people at $15 an hour, that Wendy's hamburger is going to end up costing you $8 or $9 instead of $2 or $3. So the value, what your spending power, if everyone, if all that stuff had to go up based on what your labor cost is, especially in fast food, especially in a tourist area, it would be devastating to our businesses here.
And as a business owner yourself, you understand that the people it's going to impact are the people that allegedly are the focus of, you know, the concern, that the people that are the new workers, the beginning workers, they're the ones that aren't going to get hired. Because if you got to pay somebody $15 an hour, you're going to get an experienced person because you can't hire as many people.
That is correct. That is absolutely correct, and that's the conundrum that you have to deal with. if you are forced to pay somebody that amount of money to get started. And it's a nice thing to say. It's a nice, oh, well, we're going to do this for you and that. But the consequences of that would be devastating.
Are there any local races that without, you know, throwing your endorsement behind anybody that will have an impact directly on what happens in and around Panama City?
Well, Jay Trumbull is up for his seat, and there's a lady running against him that really hasn't been out there much, and I don't think he's going to have a hard time handling his situation. We only have one commission race where we had one commissioner that was put out. We've got six particular candidates running for that seat, and that indirectly affects the city of Panama City, and so... but there's some good people running there, so I don't think that we're going to have a problem with that. Neil Dunn doesn't have our congressman doesn't have an opponent. So on a local basis, there's not a lot going on right now.
If you forecast into 2021 and kind of forward vision cast a little bit, what do you want people in Panama City to be looking ahead to?
Well, they've already started casting that vision because we've had so much money invested in our city in the last year. Private capital is flowing in here.
Wonderful.
To redo, rebuilding our downtown, 3,000 new homes at Sweet Bay. We've got another subdivision in the city that's going to be 1,900 homes. We have 130 new businesses in the city of Panama City that we did not have before the storm. So, I will tell people, if you are going to invest, if you're thinking about investing, it's time to do it because the prices are rising and the values are going up, and we hope that they continue to go up so that we can drive our millage down and help our citizens that have really suffered because of the storm.
You sure you're a Democrat? I want to see proof. I just looked at Dallas. He saw my face. You're the only politician I've ever heard elected locally say, drive the millage down. God bless you, sir. Have a great Thanksgiving and Christmas season, Mayor. We'll talk again in 2021.
Okay, guys. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mayor Greg Brodnicki. I'm not sure about that.
Morning show with Preston Scott.
You will not laugh. You will not die. You will learn by the numbers. I will teach you. Now get up. Get on your feet.
On WFLA.
You know when they say, Charlie, he's throwing the deuce. Say nice things about me. And he knows that the deuce is coming, and he sits on that curveball, and it's hanging up in the strike zone, and he parks one. Thank you very much, catcher. This is sort of Joe Biden right now. He's just throwing up fastballs, deuces with warning. Did you hear that news clip? He rolled out an old campaign line that he butchered. And it sounded like this.
We choose science over fiction. We choose truth over facts.
A truer statement has never been made.
He said, we choose truth over lies. That's not what you said, Joe.
We choose science over fiction. We choose truth over facts. And so, folks.
My favorite part is that they cheered.
I could use the help. We choose truth over facts.
Huh?
We choose truth over facts.
Really?
We choose truth over facts.
Yeah. Hey. Yeah.
But don't, the crowd goes, yeah.
Then there's yesterday before tens of people, literally tens. There weren't 20 people there. That's the throng. Guy named Robbie Starbuck says, listen to the excitement and energy from Joe Biden's huge 20-person rally in Georgia. When he walked in the crowd, they went absolutely mild. You could entirely contain their non-existent enthusiasm. I can honestly say I've never seen anything like it for a presidential candidate. And they have all of this staging, all the bunting, all of the lighting, all of the sound. They've got platforms for cameras, and there aren't 20 people there.
Mm-hmm. That's because there are 20 bubbles on the ground that those people weren't allowed to stand outside of.
Oh, my gosh.
It's ridiculous.
I mean, what do you do with that?
A Simpsons episode.
YouTube's running cover. Google owns YouTube. Doing damage control. They are running fact check at the top of searches related to Joe Biden and fracking. So if you do a search, Joe Biden and fracking on YouTube, you'll get a fact check. Democrat claims that he does not want to ban oil and gas extraction. However, there are all kinds of videos where he says he does. He said both. Kamala Harris has said absolutely no to fracking. He said yes to fracking. In fact, the other day he said, I'm Kamala Harris's running mate. Now, he's trying to have fun, I guess, in saying that. But the social media tech industry out there is wanting no part of fact-checking. They don't want you to hear Joe Biden say certain things. They don't want you to know about the Hunter Biden story. And so, when we come back, I'm going to let you listen to an unedited excerpt. Tucker Carlson sitting with Tony Bobulinski asking about, because here's all that matters. Is Joe lying about knowing what his son's up to and doing and his role in it? Yes or no? I'll let you listen to a very pertinent part of this interview. I have the entire thing on my blog page. The whole thing on my blog page. You can listen to it. You can decide what you think. Next on The Morning Show with Preston Scott.
Someone has to say it. The Morning Show with Preston Scott on News Radio 100.7 WFLA.
Yesterday, Tucker Carlson did something he has never done before. He turned over the show to a sit-down with one guest. And that guest, Tony Bobulinski, the former business associate of Hunter Biden. I'll let Tucker set up the framework for discussing a meeting with Joe Biden.
The Biden family.
The Biden family.
So they wanted you to meet with the former vice president in L.A. How did that play out?
That's correct. The former vice president was flying in, and we were to meet at the Beverly Hilton. The Milken Conference was going on, obviously one of the top three conferences in the world for anybody that's a global investor or developing different humanitarian causes and a variety of things. And he was Joe was flying in to speak about the cancer and the moonshot stuff he was working on. And Hunter and everyone was in town, and they wanted to coordinate me meeting with Joe. And so it was set up for the night of May 2nd at the Beverly Hilton. I first met with Hunter Biden and Jim Biden, and just had a light discussion where they briefed me that, listen, my dad's on the way, and we won't go into too much detail on the business front, but we'll just spend time talking at a high level about you, your background, the Biden family, and then he's got to get some rest because he's speaking as a at the conference in the morning.
So this was at night. The president, vice president, just flown across the country. He's an older man. He's got work to do.
Correct.
But they carved out a piece of his schedule for you to meet with him. Why would they do that?
Because they were sort of wining and dining me and presenting the strength of the Biden family to get me more engaged and want to take on the CEO role develop Sinohawk both in the United States and around the world in partnership with CEFC. And I, as you can imagine, I've been asked by 100 people over the last month, you know, why would you be meeting with Joe Biden? And I sort of turned the question around to the people that asked me, why at 10:38 on the night of May 2nd would Joe Biden take time out of his schedule to sit down with me in a dark bar at the Beverly Hilton, sort of positioned behind a column so people couldn't see us, to have a discussion about his family and my family and business at a very high level, where Jim Biden sat and Hunter Biden participated in. I'm irrelevant in the story. They weren't raising money from me. There was no other reason for me to be in that bar meeting Joe Biden than to discuss what I was doing with his family's name in the Chinese CFC.
What do you do with that? Too many details, too much specific knowledge to ignore, but the mainstream media is ignoring it. Here's why. This is absolutely devastating to Joe Biden because Joe is proven to be a complete and total liar by this. And Tony Bobulinski in this interview said just that. He is completely lying if he said he doesn't know about Hunter Biden's business dealings. 100%. I was sitting with him as we discussed them. He was involved. Let me ask you this other question. Of all the things that are discussed in all of this, nothing wrong. There are people that have been saying Joe Biden's doing exactly what every father does for his kids if he has the chance. Help him out. Help him get a job. Help him make a living. If it were true, I get that. But that isn't what was going on here. Joe was making money off of his son. He was profiting from these deals. But let's go a step further. If all of this was on the up and up, everything was fine and above board, why in the world would Hunter Biden give up one of the single biggest paychecks he has in 2019 when his dad decided to run for president? Why? Is it because his involvement would have raised more questions? It would have been too obvious? Too difficult? Seriously, if it's legal, why stop? It's not like Hunter Biden is out campaigning for his dad like the Trump kids are for their dad, is it? You heard Hunter make a campaign speech yet? One? 46 minutes after the hour, it's the Morning Show with Preston Scott. All right, squeezing every moment I can out of this program, wringing every second out. Just another few moments here. Tucker Carlson last night, Tony Bobulinski. This is the morning after Joe Biden gives this speech. Cancer Moonshot is a cancer research program, and this is the aftermath.
Conversation that you had with Joe Biden, what did he say to you?
You mean the morning after he spoke?
That's right.
There was 10 people running around getting him something to drink, and we were backstage in a cramped space, and he asked me to walk with him out to the car, and he just asked, you know, how I did and what I thought of his speech. And I thought he did a great job in the speech. And obviously, cancer is a very serious thing that we should all be working together to solve. I just lost a sister-in-law within the last 2 weeks, sadly, to cancer. And and then he just sort of asked me to keep an eye on his son and his brother. Yeah.
What do you think he meant by that?
I think it was conscious of things, and, you know, I can't speak for him. I would love for him to go on record. You know, as I referenced earlier, I'm only sitting here because they have not only have they not gone on record, they've denied it, and they've tarred my family name and a long history of serving this country, and have other congressmen now talking about Russian disinformation.
This
and that's he's Biden's accused him of being part of a Russian disinformation, and he's of a family that has served this country in the military. He's not having any of it.
Did Joe serve?
I don't know either. I know his son did, Bo, who passed away.
Yeah.
But that's, you know, he's like, yeah, I'm not having any of this. I'm not, whatever they do's on them, but I'm not having what they're doing sully my name.
I don't blame him.
And so he's, and here's why he's in such a good place. He has all the documentation. Mm-hmm. He's got everything. That's why he's calm. He's not evasive. He's not referring to notes. He doesn't have an attorney sitting next to him as he's giving this interview. No, just a minute, Tucker. I need to consult with my attorney. There's none of that. Mm-mm. I'm telling you, I said it when I posted this back last week. If you think this thing is smoke and mirrors, you are dreaming. You are deceiving yourself and doing a disservice to yourself. Morning Show 180. Look back at the program in 180 seconds or less. The mayor's joined us. Mayor John Daly evoked quite a bit of email response with some of his answers to some of my questions. We had a very collegial time, as we always do. It's very cordial, even when we disagree. We didn't get to everything I wanted to talk about, but that happens. Nice visit with Mayor Greg Brednicki, Mayor of Panama City. Final two visits with mayors of both cities this year. We will be off from those interviews in November and December due to Thanksgiving and Christmas holidays, back after the first of the year. Had Bill Zimfer on the program talking about no stimulus deal, but no shortage of things to talk about. Absolutely, positively. We got Bill Shack on Facebook Live in about 20 minutes. Those of you in Tallahassee that you haven't made up your mind on the city race between he and Curtis Richardson, feel free to tune in. We'll talk however many minutes we talk. I don't know. It could be 5, could be 10, could be 15. I could talk for 5 hours with him. I don't know. We could like talk world politics or something like that. I don't know. His feeling on the Star Wars movies. Were 1, 2, and 3 really 1, 2, and 3? Or were they actually 7, 8, 9? Or wait, were they actually 4, 5, and 6?
Okay, stick to politics, dude. Come on.
Because, you know, Star Wars 4 is actually the first Star Wars, and that confuses people. I'm just saying, where does he fit on this? Where does he sit on this subject? It's important. Bill Shack joins me on Facebook Live in about at 9:15 Eastern Time. Tomorrow, Steve Stewart from Tallahassee Reports, geologist, global warming expert, Greg Wrightstone joins us, and Lori Williams from Dog Pond Kennels on things to help your dog behave better.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.